Let the church say amen.
Amen.
God is wonderful. God is good. You know, if God wasn't good to us, we might not be here this morning. So we ought to be eternally grateful for that. This morning, God has allowed us to wake up. He has allowed us to get up, and He has allowed us to make our way out to His church. And we ought to be eternally grateful. Realizing that the audience is somewhat sparse this morning, but nevertheless, the Word of God must carry on. And we will go forward with this day as normal. So let us stop first of all and take a moment and go to God in prayer. O Lord, our Heavenly Father, You have given unto us the breath of life once again. You have given unto us the thoughts of life. You have given unto us Your will and Your ways, O Lord, and we thank You for that. Father, we come this morning praying and thanking You for so much, yet You ask us for so little. Father, we thank You for Your Son, first of all, who came down to this earth to walk among men and take on the form of a human and live and died for us that we might continue to live on after death. Thank You, O Lord. Thank You, Heavenly Father, for all of that You do for us. We come praying this morning for our local congregation in particular, O Lord, as we stand on this spot right now, O Lord. We want to thank You for blessing us to be able to reach out to the darkness in communities everywhere, O Lord. Bless us, O Heavenly Father, as we carry that word forward. Thank You, O Lord. Thank You for the leaders of this congregation and their families. Thank You for the brethren who have taken part in the services thus far and their families. And thank You for those who shall come from this point on. Thank You, O Lord. Thank You for everything. And Father, we thank You that one day when Jesus died on yonder's cross, when the sun refused to shine, we thank You, O Lord, because He didn't have to do it, but yet He did. And Father, we just want to give praise and honor to His name and thank You, O Heavenly Father. Father, we thank You so much for everything You do for us. We pray for those who are sick and shut in, especially those in the local congregation. We pray that if it be Your will, that You might give them a healing touch and heal them, O Lord. But if not, Father, let Your will be done. Father, we thank You once again for everything You have said to us and everything You do through us. And it's in the name of Jesus we continue to pray and ask it all. Let us all say amen.
Amen.
This morning, we want to talk about something we probably broached on before. Am I in the right church? All people, church folk that is, have their ideas of what they seek in a church. From the preacher at the front to the members at the back row, they all have different ideas. The preacher may want a large, roomy building, perhaps a church with influential members, a membership that has money and not afraid to give it. That may be what the preacher's idea of what makes up the church of his choosing. The membership may look for something totally different. Some may want a church that offers their favorite shopping mart offer, such as a good deal. Others may prefer a large congregation where they can hide out, that they won't be called upon to serve that often. They may want a church where others give so they don't feel that they need to give. Then there's another group, those who want the church to start at 11 so they can be justified in coming in at 11:15, hoping to get out at 11:45, and where they can play church and will not be preached about. The last group is a group that I would like for us to concentrate on today. This is the group that love the Lord and want to give the praise to God. They are concerned more about being in the right church rather than being the size of the building. The right church should have the right builder. I know you've heard many sermons and many teachers on preaching on this sermon or this type of sermon on the one church. But if you're concerned about your soul, you need to hear another one. If you take your car to be repaired and the mechanic tells you it'll be ready at 1 o'clock, you're on the phone calling him at 12:45 to see if it's ready. He may tell you he needs another 30 minutes, so you call him in 25 minutes to check if he's done. All I'm saying is that Jesus didn't over or underestimate the building of his church. He said in Matthew chapter 16 and verse number 18, "Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." He did not say, "I'm thinking about building a church." He did not say, "I might build a church." He simply stated the plain and simple truth to Peter that the church is still in, and that church is still in existence today. The church started small, but it grew and grew, and on the day of Pentecost in Acts 2 and 41, about 3,000 souls were added to the church. 3,000 souls were added to the church. But I like verse number 42 where it says, "And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers." There's no record of anyone debating about who should lead and who should follow. There's nothing in there about who should be the leader in forming the fellowship group. Some might say today, why are they letting him pray instead of me? Why are they letting him pray? Because he doesn't pray as good as I pray. But the Bible said they were steadfast in the doctrine. This is the kind of church we all should seek to be in. The church should carry on whether the audience be full, half full, or just two or three. Matthew 18 and verse number 20 says, "Where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst of them." We should teach. We should pray. We should sing. We should preach. And we should give the same no matter how many are in the audience. You don't have to cut your contribution because there's only a few people, and you don't have to cut it because there's a lot of people. You give what as you have prospered. That's what the Bible teaches us to do. We pray and sing with the same voice, no matter how many people are in the audience. And the preacher should preach the same as long as he's preaching for Christ. Christ said he would be in the midst of two or three, whether the two or three are gathered. Granted, the singing may not sound the same. It may not be as robust. The collection may not be as hearty or as big. Is that a hint? The praying shouldn't be just as sincere, and the message should be preached just the same, though the audience was just as full. So I asked the question this morning to those who would ask that question, "Am I in the wrong church?" Well, if you're in the church that doesn't have Jesus as the builder, you're in the wrong church. The right church should be united. Wouldn't it be wonderful today if all the churches would be united as they were in Acts 2 and 1, where the Bible tells us, "And in the day of Pentecost will fully come, they were all with one accord in one place." They were fellowshipping in one accord. There were people of many different nations, people of all different nations, but they came to hear the teachings of Jesus Christ by the apostles who were filled with the Holy Spirit, and to show us that the word of God is for all men. Verse number 8 of Acts chapter 2 says, "Every man heard them in their own tongue," meaning they heard the message that was being preached. How can the message of Jesus be understood when some of us are preoccupied with other thoughts? Some may be reading a text message. Some may be sending a text message. The audience should be united in having the Word of God. Once we learn the Word of God, then and only then, and I think it'll take you a lifetime to learn the Word of God, but only then will you be well equipped to go out and face the wiles of the devil. We should be united in hearing that word. We can know what is we so we can know what is expected for us to do. The church should be united in love toward one another. For this is a commandment from Jesus that we love one another. In John 13, verses 34 and 35, Jesus said, "A new commandment I give you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you love one another." And then in verse number 35, he said, "By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." Now, what does that say? We ought to wipe out all the evilness from our thinking and just learn to concentrate on loving one another. And I know for some it'll take a little bit more concentration than others. But nevertheless, the Bible tells us, Jesus told us, that we should love one another as I have loved you. Not only should we want to be in a church where love is united, but the church should be united in forgiving one another as well. Ephesians 4 and 32 tells us to be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. Now, I just may as well bring this on home. God at some point in time has forgiven every last one of us for something we have done. As a matter of fact, some of us probably need to be forgiven for something right now. How do I know? Because none of us are without fault, and because we are humans and we suffer from the ups and downs of this life. We suffer from the ups and downs of this life of which we live in. So in Matthew 16 and 18, the Bible says, "Upon this rock I will build my church." And if you're in a church that's not built up on the foundation laid out on Jesus Christ, laid out in Matthew 16 and 18, you're in the wrong church. The right church should love God, should love God's word. As the psalmist said in Psalms 119, verses number 105, "The word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." The word of God should be uplifting, and taught from the word of God, that it may become a clear path for your soul to follow. This psalm tells of how the psalmist was concerned of his well-being, but he knew that the word of God would give guide and give light to his dark situation. So it should be with us today. The church you attend should be able to instill the word of God through its teaching. The right church should be a singing church, like it states in Ephesians 5 and 19. Should be free of instrumental music, but one that makes melody in its heart. The right church should be a thankful, thanksgiving-filled church. Ephesians 5 and 20, giving thanks always for all things unto God. The right church should not be made up of man's rules, but like in our text, where they gather in one accord in prayer and to the Savior. The church was not built by man. Instead, it was built by Jesus. Now, I'm not talking about the building that we worship in. Of course, that was built by man. But the foundation of the church is on Jesus Christ himself. "Upon this rock I will build my church." That's what Matthew 16, 18 says. And then Colossians 1, 18 said, "And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning from the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence." We got to give it all to the Lord, for the Lord gave us the church to be in. So when I think about it a little further, to those who would just want the church to be the way they want it, the church that would accept them no matter what time they come in, the church that would accept them no matter how they act through the week, just long as they get here on Sunday. No. There are some things that we must learn that the Lord expects of us. The Lord expects us to obey his will and his word. The Lord expects for us to do the right thing. And I know it's impossible sometimes, it seems as though, for us to do all the right things. But nevertheless, God's will shall be done. The right church was the church that was built by man instead of being built by Jesus is not the right church. Let us not seek to put our design on it. Instead, we should be in one accord with the Word of God. If you're not in the church that Jesus built, you're in the wrong church. If it's not laid on the foundation of Jesus, you're in the wrong church. If you must join your church instead of being added by the Lord, as they did in Acts 2:47, you're in the wrong church. You don't join this church. You don't need my approval. You don't need the elders' approval to get into this church. You just need to be in the Lord, and then you can become a member of this body. So then when I look at it a little further and I think about it, what do you consider to be your ideal church? Is it the one that you can just come in and out when you get ready? Not accepting Hebrews chapter 10, 25, where it says when they assemble together, you ought to be there? Or do you want a church where we participate in all kind of games and things, like we play bingo on Tuesday night? Oh, I bet we'd fill the church if we had bingo on Tuesday night. Would you want date night at the church? Or would you want to be in a church where they have a social hour? Every evening at 5 or 6 o'clock we have social hour. Or would you want to be in a church where they do everything except count the Lord and praise the Lord for His blessings? That's how some of us want to go to church. That's our ideal church. But that's not the way the Lord prescribed it. The Lord prescribed it: upon this rock I will build my church, in Matthew 16:18, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And then once again in Colossians 1 and 18, and He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have the preeminence. Oh, no, yes, yes. We've got to give the honor and praises all to the Lord. And I know what some people say, the first thing they say when they give up, stand up, they say, giving all honor and praises to God. But yet they don't act like it. They say it, you say one thing, but you mean something else. When I think about it a little further, if this church was built by Jesus, whose name should it carry? It should carry Jesus' name, should it not? If this church is built by Jesus Christ, who is the foundation, who is the chief cornerstone, should it not follow God's instructions? I believe it should. I believe that we should come together in one accord, just like they did in Acts chapter 2. I believe that we ought to be in one accord with one another, that we should be able to speak the same thing and share the same thoughts. I believe that the church is right. I believe that the church will always be right. I believe that the church was right from the beginning, and I believe it's still right today. And it will always be right. So if you're contemplating going to a church that's of a different faith, as they say, I would rethink it. Now, I'm not saying that you have to stay here. I'd love for you to stay here. But if you're not satisfied and you think somewhere else, another location, as long as it's the Church of Christ, then you'll be all right. But just to leave this church because you don't like what the elders said we have to do, that's not a reason to leave the church, because if they went to the Bible and checked out their sources and researched it, then that's what you ought to be doing. If you were to leave your congregation because you don't think the preacher sounds right half the time, well, are you listening right half the time? Or are you just listening for what you want to hear and not what the preacher is saying? But if he didn't say what I want to hear, then maybe he's not preaching it right. As long as your preacher is telling you the truth, as long as it came from the biblical word of God, then you ought to be satisfied. As long as he didn't add anything to it, as long as he didn't separate us, move anything out of the way, bring anything, move anything out of the way and subtract, then he's all right. And that's the word of God. So when I consider this matter, if somebody tells you you can join my church, first of all, you want to know where did he get his church from, my church. And if they can tell you you can join, you don't even have to get baptized. That's the wrong church. If you're not baptized in Christ, if you're not washed in the blood of Christ, and that comes through baptism into Christ, this is where you put on Christ, in this watery grave of baptism. If you're not into that, then you're in the wrong church. You see, I would like to be able to tell you that it's all right. You can do it any way you want to, but I can't. I would like to be able to tell you that if it sounds good to you, go ahead and get in that congregation. But I can't. I would like to be able to tell you, and I know with authenticity, that this is the right church. Now, what you do about this location is your business, but this is the right church. This is the right church. This is the right place to be for the sake of the Lord. The Lord will build his church. He built his church in Matthew 16 and 18, and this is the church. Now, what I want to say to you as I close, get ready for closing here. If you don't like somebody in the church, you got a problem. If you don't, let me rephrase that. If you don't love somebody in the church, you got a problem. And if you don't love me, it ain't on me. It's on you. Because the Bible tells you to love one another. See, the one thing that I know I won't go to hell for is not loving one another. Because I love you all. I tell you this from time to time. That's one thing I won't go to hell for. Now, there may be many other things that I might wind up there in for, but not of my own choosing. But at the same time, you've got to learn to accept God's will. Now, what is God's will for your life? It's in the Word of God. Open the pages of the Word of God. And you've heard many people say, well, every time I open the Word of God, I see something that I missed before. Well, that's the mystery of God's Word. He'll always show you something in His Word that you missed before. How did I miss it before? Well, perhaps you were tired when you read it before. Or it's always that excuse, the devil is there waiting on you and waiting till you get to that point, and then he'll distort the meaning because he's always doing that. But if you're looking for a home church, a church that will be the church of your lifetime, you found it, the Church of Christ. The Church of Christ is the right congregation, is the right church. Now, which congregation you attend is up to you. But the Church of Christ is the right church. Now, some of you may say, well, when I used to go to church with my grandmother, we didn't go to the Church of Christ. We went to that little backwoods church back on a country dusty road somewhere. And I don't mean to say all of you are country or anything. That's not what I'm saying. I'm simply saying most of us were raised up in the country. And we came at some point from the country, and we had to travel on the dusty country road. I remember taking long trips with my grandmother, walking through the woods, in the same woods that I wouldn't dare go through now unless I'm in a car. The same woods that I used to walk through on those dusty Sunday mornings to get to church. They had the mourner's bench. We don't have that in the Church of Christ. They had what do they call it? I can't remember what it's called now, but they had something, some fifth Sunday, some kind of program they had. And then they had baptisms where you go down to the riverside and get baptized. Well, see, we got the water right here. Brother Jackson will baptize you right now, right away. All you have to do is come forward and ask to be baptized, ask to be put on, ask to put on Christ in through baptism. So the bottom line is, if you're not in the Church of Christ, then it's not found in the Bible. But the Church of Christ is easily found in the Bible. In Matthew 16, 18, in reference to Romans 16 and 16, the churches of Christ salute you. Salute one another with a holy kiss. The churches of Christ salute you. That's the only church. Now, you name me where there's another church listed in the New Testament, and I'll debate with you for a little while. I know some are going to say, well, it says about the church of God, but that he purchased with his own blood. Well, if it was the church of God, did God die for us? Jesus died for us, so it's the church of Christ, not the church of God. And then there are so many other arguments that people use. But if you're not in the right congregation, if Jesus didn't build your church, if the church is divided, then is Christ divided? No. Christ did not say, I'll build half of the church here and half of the church over there. He said, upon this rock I will build my church. And I know you've heard this enough times, more and more, and the longer you've been in church, the more times you've heard a sermon about the one church. But I'm going to keep on continuing to preach about the one church as long as I can, because I realize that there is but one church of Christ. There is but one right church, and that is the church of Christ. Now, I don't always agree with everything that go on in the churches of Christ. I'll tell you that. But I know it's not Christ that's wrong. I know it's the church members that are wrong, not Christ. The church is still right, even though the members may be wrong. So I say to you this morning, if you're not a member of the right church, you need to put yourself in position to become a member of the right church. And how do you do that? Well, you come by hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, and then being baptized. But if you've already done that, but you went astray, you need to come back, ask the Lord to forgive you, and then ask the church to pray with and for you that you may gather strength to continue on faithfully living the Word of God. If this is your desire, as we together stand and sing the song of invitation.